Right, but we better get serious and pray about this. And I know Brendan's got a good word for us. Okay, yeah, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you for the insights that Brendan's got for us tonight. We just pray that we'd have open hearts to hear and to receive, and we'd all grow. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. How are we all feeling? I'm just going to try and organize myself here. Need a whole table or something. Here we go. Right. So we're carrying on with our Unsung Heroes series. And I've decided to talk about Jonathan. Now, Jonathan, if you don't know, he sort of, you kind of blink and miss him if in the Old Testament. He sort of features for a little while and then he disappears. He's in 1 Samuel. So he's the son of King Saul. Now, Saul was the first king of Israel. Probably he made a few mistakes in his time as king. And Jonathan was his son. And so obviously he was the prince. He also was a very good friend of David, who was, as we know, the second king of Israel, but probably the most famous and most sort of renowned of all of the kings of Israel. He wrote a lot of the Psalms. Wow, that's really, really blowing out there. I want to talk about Jonathan. He kind of impressed me. I said last week I read a book called Sons of Encouragement, and the story of Jonathan just jumped out at me. I guess in some ways one that I could see myself in him in some ways. Not that I was a prince or a really good fighter. Actually, I don't know why I saw myself in him at all, actually, but maybe his attitude. There we go. It challenged me. Maybe I didn't see myself in him, and that was the... I'll just move on. So Jonathan found himself kind of between these two guys, his father, King Saul, and David, his good friend, who was the kind of the incoming king. Now, it's a very long story, there's a lot to it, but essentially Saul made some bad decisions, and Samuel the priest said, look, the kingdom's going to disappear from you. You're not going to stay the king, and your family will not kind of inherit the throne. And so that happened, and then like 7 years later, David becomes the king. So there's this kind of intermediate stage between that happening and this long period of time where Saul was kind of out to get David, and David was hiding in caves and all sorts. And so pretty crazy story. And right in the thick of that was Jonathan, sort of torn between these two guys. And he was a really, really close friend of David, and he'd sort of go and help him. And so one of the things that jumped out about Jonathan to me was he had a way of... he was a real unsung hero. He was this kind of guy that would bring out the best in the people around him. He was somebody who he kind of settled or calmed King Saul, who was out to kill David. And he was like, no, relax. He's actually on your side. You know, he's a good guy. And so he had that kind of effect where he could settle and calm. But he also had the effect of being able to say to David, come on, you can do this, man, and encouraging David, who would get down, as if you've read any of the Psalms, you'd know that. So he was this kind of unsung hero in that he was quietly in the background and able to sort of influence people in a really awesome way. So I'm going to bring out a few things. Have we got a PowerPoint? Is that working? Or just a few points, a few things that to me stuck out about Jonathan that I just wanted to sort of touch on. And if you wanted to read the story this week sometime, it's from 1 Samuel 8 onwards. So the first thing that really impressed me about Jonathan, it's kind of going to work, it's doing some funny things there, but was his deep faith, trust in the Lord. So he was the kind of guy that would see something that needed to be done and he would just go out and do it. Okay, so I'm going to read in 1 Samuel 14. Where are we? I'm just going to kind of skip through this story. And like I said, the story kind of goes in and out throughout 1 Samuel. But so I just choose little bits that stuck out to me. In chapter 14, "Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side.' But he did not tell his father." Jump down to verse 4. "Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Senek." Okay, so there's kind of cliff face, and that's where they're going through. "Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few.' So his armor bearer said to him, 'Do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart.'" Right? So he's like, okay, the two of us, we're going to go and start a fight. Okay, these Philistines are here. They're going to attack us. I can see a few of them up there. Let's go and get them. Possibly unwise, but anyway, he's trusting. Like he says, just maybe the Lord will work for us. He says he's got this trust, this kind of reckless faith that I love. So off they go. "Both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, 'Look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden.' Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, 'Come on up to us and we will show you something.' So Jonathan turned and said to his armor bearer, 'Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel.' And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about half an acre of land." So these two guys just decided, these Philistines are gathering and Dad's just become king. We have to do something. And he just said, let's go and cause a ruckus. And so, and he just, you know, he had this faith of like, maybe God will do something for us, because we're just two men, but with God, man, there's so much more, you know? And so that was his faith, the kind of faith he had. He wasn't blowing any trumpets. Saul claimed the victory for himself and said, "I've defeated them." And anyway, so, you know, that thing he said, perhaps the Lord will work for us. And as an armor bearer had said, you know, just do whatever's in your heart. Contrasting that with Saul in verse 36, this is Jonathan's father. Saul says, "Let us go down," this is after that had happened, "let us go down after the Philistines by night and plunder them until the morning light. Let us not leave a man alive among them." And they said to him, "Do whatever seems good to you." Right? Now that "do whatever seems good to you" was kind of it appears a few times through the life of Saul. The people around him just said, "Whatever you think we should do, we'll just do it," right? And that was kind of how Saul made decisions. And it was a kind of unwise way of making decisions. As it says in Proverbs, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. And that was Saul and his kingdom, his kingship was, I guess we'll try and do this. He was kind of an impulsive man. Anyway, his son Jonathan didn't get that gene. And he was a man that was full of faith. He had faith that, and it was based in the faithfulness and the power of God, and not in, "Oh, I reckon we should do this," or "I'm getting impatient," or "Something's kind of bothering me, so I'm going to go and do this." It was no God. And he said, "Let's go to these uncircumcised Philistines." Like, no, they're standing against the living God. Let's go and smash them. Like, that's how Jonathan thought, which I really liked. Both men, they took risks, you know, Jonathan and Saul, and led battles. One, though, was motivated by faith. The other one was just war and conquest. That was Saul. I wonder, how often do we step out into unknown or risky situations and just leave that space for God to do something. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever done that where you've taken a step and you think, man, I don't know how this is going to work? I mean, there's just two of us. We have to kill all those guys. No, you probably don't do that. But, you know, something like that, you know, where it's like risky and this could all go bad, but we're going to leave space for God to fill in the blanks, right? And that was something that Jonathan knew, and he did really, really well. I'm ignoring the PowerPoint. Is there anything going on up there? Was there? Next slide. There we go. Get another one. And another one. Yep, so that's what I just talked about. Next slide. Cool. Number two. I'll try and remember to do that. He was focused on the purpose of God above the purposes of man. Now, this was the thing that stuck out to me, really stuck out to me with Jonathan, was that he was the prince, right? Which, if anyone knows anything about monarchy, means when dad dies, he's the king, right? That's how it works. So he was in line for the throne. And then Saul made some dumb decisions. And that all got stripped away from Saul. And as a young man, Jonathan was now facing, oh, I'm never going to be king now. And he had a friend, this young guy, David, who had made this friend in the palace. He was a good harpist. It looks like David's going to be the king. David, this shepherd, hold on. That's my job. That's my position. Like, I thought, oh, man. But we don't hear anything of Jonathan nagging or getting angry at David or resenting David. I know I would, right? Because, I don't know, I would be like, oh, I'm going to get that job. Oh, I'm going to do that. And then, you know, if it doesn't happen, why didn't it happen? Or why hasn't that happened to me yet? I don't know if you can relate to this. You know, I've been here for longer than that person. Why are they getting promoted? Do you know what I mean? That kind of an attitude. But Jonathan didn't seem to have that. He didn't struggle with that. It was like, or if he did, he never let anyone know. See, it's easy to get a sense of entitlement in life, isn't it? I think that's the next one. Wasn't entitled, right? I don't know if you know anyone who seems entitled. Oh, don't point, but stop pointing at me. No, you know, we can get that sense that I've earned this position. I've been here long enough. Why aren't I being promoted? Why, God, aren't you elevating me? You know, he didn't have that, right? I'm going to read chapter 23, verse 4. Sorry, I'm just going to scoot through. Later on, I want to read this to you because it's pretty powerful. He goes and finds David because David's on the run from Saul. And he's hiding out in the forest. So let's read. And David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him on every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a forest. I probably didn't need to read all that because I just explained it. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that." So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. See, Jonathan wasn't afraid to affirm what God had called David to. He wasn't afraid to go to him and say, no, God has called you to be the king. And I'm going to do what I can to help make that happen. And he helped David escape when Saul was pursuing him. Jonathan was the kind of man that was confident enough in himself to let another man be successful and to stand beside him and to help him, right? See, the thing was that David was also that kind of man. And maybe that's why Jonathan could do it. Because, you know, we read in the Psalms, David says, what does he say? If I was just to be a doorkeeper in your house, you know, better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. I don't want to do anything but just be in your house, God. If all it is just being there and welcoming people in the door, then that's what I want to be. You know, an awesome, awesome attitude. Jonathan shared that same attitude. It wasn't about the position. It wasn't about him getting his own glory or being the man. See, I think, and maybe this is God's challenged me on this, we, especially in church, we live in an age where we're constantly being talked, not in our church, but in church circles, talked to about leadership. Leadership is the thing, right? People learning about leadership, growing in leadership. So we all want to be leaders. But if everyone's leaders, it doesn't really work, right? Some, we're going to have to learn how to be good followers and good team leaders, team members, and supporting the ones who have been called into leadership, right? And so that's something that I think God is just dealt with in me, slowly, slowly, like, are you here to be the leader or are you just here to be part of the team and to be, you know, on my team? Is it about you or is it about me? And I've had to learn to really deal with that. So, yeah, that's just something of my journey with that. He was humble. Jonathan was a humble man, right? And I just was reminded of this before as we were singing that that was also the way that Christ was. The New Testament tells us, you know, your attitude should be like that of Christ, who he was in nature God, right? He had this position of absolute authority, but he humbled himself and became like obedient to death, right? He became like a servant. And so that's just something to me that was actually, Jonathan's story spoke to me, like, will you just be a servant to me and what my purposes are? So the last thing that jumped out at me, well, the third thing was that he was just a really faithful friend to David. So he defended David before his father. I think these are up there, yeah. And he helped David to escape when Saul was out to get him, right? And that just that little passage that said he strengthened his hand in God. He strengthened him in God. He went to him in the forest and found him. And what does that mean? I think it means he stood with him and he prayed with him. He encouraged him. He said, how are you doing? What can I do to help you? You know, and he was able to strengthen David, who was probably feeling quite low, right? If you've been on the run from a murderous king for 7 years, you probably would be as well. And Jonathan was able to just come in there and just go, mate, I'm here with you, man, and you're going to do this. And he encourages him. That really spoke to me. Because it's, you know, the Bible even talks about David and Jonathan. It said their souls were knitted together. It's like they were so, so, so close as friends. And that's kind of a beautiful picture of friendship. And I probably, when the world can't handle that kind of friendship, right? I wanted to say tonight, you know, what kind of friendships are we developing among us? Is it the kind of friendships where we just see each other once a week and go, hey man, how's your week? Yeah, good, sweet, cool, I'll catch you later. Can I have a coffee? Yeah, sweet, catch, you know, surface level, right? Just, and then we move on, because I don't want to get any deeper, it's a little uncomfortable. Right? Do we ever push past that though? Go a little deeper and ask the question, now, how is your week been? Are you okay? Is there anything I can pray for? Or even push past further and start to call out the God in somebody. You know, we can have friends where I can speak to them and say, I can see this in you. God has put this in you. God has placed this on your life. You know, and it's a scary place to be. And I'm not saying that I'm kind of in that place with many of my friends, but I wondered if God wanted to challenge me and us. Let's push a little deeper. That friendship is about more than just, you know, being polite and saying hi to each other, but actually caring, calling people out. I watched the Hillsong movie. I can't remember the name of it. Does anyone remember the name? Let Hope Rise. Yeah, yeah. Right, we watched it a while back, and there was one little moment that stood out to me, and it was this. United has these two guys that kind of lead worship, Jad and Joel, right? Joel Houston and Jad. And Joel's pretty much the guy, he's the boss man. He does a lot of the leading and songwriting. And there's this interview with Jad, and Jad said, God challenged me a little while ago. He said, he was talking about armor bearers and how the armor bearer would go with the king or with the person that was, you know, in charge, and he would just be there to protect and supply arrows or the sword or whatever, and he was there to protect, you know, keep his back and whatnot. And he said, this is Jad saying to Joel, you know, these guys are both amazing worship leaders. Jad said, I felt like God challenged me to be an armor bearer for Joel, because Joel's out the front and he's the leader, but it means he's getting attacked on all sides and he's getting, you know, he might be getting down. But my ministry is to stand beside him and build him up, protect him from behind, you know, and look out for him, encourage him, stand with him out the front. And they're both standing, you know, you wouldn't know it because they both stand right next to each other singing at top of their lungs. And it's awesome. But one of them's there probably out the front a bit more. The other one's like, I'm here to, like, you come near Joel, I'm going to get you, kind of thing, you know? I wonder if we could have those kind of relationships in church more. I'd love to. If anyone wants to be my armor bearer, no. Sorry, it's all gone out the window. Sorry. I'll be interviewing afterwards. Jonathan and David, though, David eventually became king. But Jonathan never saw the day that David became the king. He was killed on the battlefield beside his father and his other brothers before David was the king. And so Jonathan, you know, he lived to see David as king and he worked so hard to be that. Never saw it happen. Which is kind of sad, but then as we move into 2 Samuel chapter 9, there's this amazing, this beautiful little story of a young man named Mephibosheth. Has anyone heard of Mephibosheth? He was the son of Jonathan. Now, he was lame in both legs because he was dropped when he was like 5 or something. So he couldn't walk. He was paralyzed. And everyone else from Saul and Jonathan's family had been killed, right? And now David is the king, and he says, is there anyone left from that family that I can show some kindness to? You know, my brother Jonathan, you know. And someone tells him, there's Mephibosheth. And so he goes to get Mephibosheth, and he brings him to the palace, and he says, and he restores to this young man who has really only ever known brokenness, and dad was killed, and he's had a pretty hard life. And David was able to restore to that young man, you know, because of the faithfulness of his father. He restored to him everything that had belonged to Saul, his grandfather, King Saul, before he became the king. All that land, crops, everything became now the property of this young man, Mephibosheth. And he said, you will eat at my table for the rest of your life. So, I don't know, there was just something about that spoke to me, that as we are faithful just in the little and serving and loving and supporting, God sees it. And, man, the rewards may not come in this life, but maybe it's the next for our children. You know, we're setting our children up for something so good. I just wanted to leave that with you. I don't know if there's means anything to anyone here, but God is a restoring Father, and I love it that story, which kind of ended pretty badly for Jonathan. It just had such a nice twist to it with his son being blessed like that. That's really all I wanted to share about Jonathan. And I would challenge you, just read it. Go and read it. It's in 1 Samuel 8 onwards. It's just an awesome story. And yeah, really spoke to me. Yeah, thanks.